Today we have somebody who's been here before I was here, maybe slightly, a little bit, and she's marvellous. This is Robin, and she's going to bring God's word to us. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you, Paul, too, for your welcome. And it is so lovely to be here with you this morning. We had a terrific day at the Ladies' Day yesterday, and I was absolutely blown away by everything that the team did to make that day so special for all of the women who were here. So a big congratulations to the team. It was wonderful. Well, yesterday we looked at Jesus, and today we are going to look at Jesus. And especially some passages that talk about Jesus, our King, from Hebrews and then from Revelation. Well, the other week I went with the ladies from my tennis team to see the movie Downton Abbey, the grand finale. And for anyone who has watched the television series, this movie closes off the story. All of the main characters are included, and very fittingly, there is a happy ending. Now, for those who haven't seen the story of Downton Abbey, it's really about a wealthy family who, from the earliest 20th century, about 1910 to 1930, navigate the challenges of being a wealthy family during that time and for being staff of a wealthy family during that time. They go through World War I, they go through the big stock market crashes of the 20s and 30s, and they go through the death of the matriarch. And so how is this all going to work? And lastly, as we see a little bit in the grand finale, but I won't give it away, they go through the challenges of land taxes and what it means for this big estate. So a very current story. Well, as I sat at the end of that movie, the credits started to roll, and I was astounded at all of the people who had been involved just to bring that movie to the screen. The credits went on and on and on. There were thousands and thousands of people to bring that movie to the screen. And as I sat there in the cinema, there were all of the people who'd supported the cinema. All the people who had organised the tickets, all of the people who'd cleaned the cinema, all of the people who'd ushered us in to where we were to go, all of the people who staffed the cafe and the cafeteria, all of the people who kept the lights on, all of the people who made sure the escalator was working so we could get up to the cinema. Thousands and thousands of people for that moment in time. And as we sit here in church today, it's the same. As Heather prayed so beautifully of the generations who've gone before us, that we can sit in these seats, that we can be here because of all of the many people who helped today happen and have helped this church to be here. All people who have faithfully followed God, have faithfully trusted in Him and sacrificed of their goods and their time so we can be here. Every moment in time includes all that people have done before us and in that moment. And what we will see is that all of those goods, all of those services will one day be brought in worship of our King Jesus. This is who we serve, the King of the entire world. to whom everything will be brought in worship. Well, yesterday we looked at Hebrews, and this was a passage slightly following on from one of the ones we looked at. It says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and you made the heavens in your hands. Everything we have, including each other, comes from the Lord." However, Hebrews 1 goes on to say that one day everything except Jesus will be past the use by date. 1:11, "They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you, Jesus, are always the same. You will live forever." Of course, we see this in our world. Things change, perish, food over time goes rotten. Buildings that were once grand can be discarded and fall into decay. And we age and we grow frail. And these verses tell us that there will be a time when the heavens and the earth will perish and fall away. But this is not bad news. It's good news. We looked yesterday at a description of the unshakable kingdom. Everything will shake away, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more sorrow, no more mourning. And all that is terrible will perish away. There'll be no more injustice. There'll be no more opposition to God or to his people. God has a good future planned. But it will mean that the world needs to change, that the heavens and the earths will be made new by God, who is always the same, who lives forever. And so we see in Revelation 21 a bit of a description of our new heaven and earth. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Revelation chapter 21 and we're verses 22 to 26. So Revelation 21, verses 22 to 26. "And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of a sun or a moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honour into the city." Well, Revelation was a message given to the Apostle John, and it was to share with seven churches. And I love that those churches were a mix of what we see today. Some of those people in those churches were finding faith very hard. They're in the midst of persecution and difficult times, and they had threats to their safety. Some were a bit meh in their faith. No, they were holding on to Jesus when it suited them, but if something better came along, they would go and follow that as well. And there are others who are at risk of becoming so like their surrounding culture that they hardly had to exercise any faith at all. Whatever came along, they followed. So Revelation was a letter sent to them to remind them that when Jesus died on the cross and was raised again by God, he defeated every opponent of God in that moment. And that Jesus is the one who sits at God's right hand in heaven for eternity. Jesus is King right now in heaven and forever and ever. And so for the people reading Revelation, they were reminded that any emperor, any king, any ruler that they could see in that enormous empire, and from all the time before and all the time after, would be accountable to the King, to Jesus. So as we look a little bit deeper into these verses, we see some amazing aspects of this new heaven and earth. We're just going to look at three this morning. The first of all, which is, we see there is no temple. So I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Well, in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God came down to meet with his people. And we heard about that at the Ladies' Day yesterday. And there were very strict instructions as to how the temple was to be built and how it was to be run and what the priests and the high priests could do in that temple. They had to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, including themselves as the priests. And people couldn't just wander in and do what they wanted to do in the temple, although Jesus does challenge them that they did just that in the New Testament times. But particularly in the holiest place, and it wasn't because God didn't want them there, but to go into that holiest place not prepared as God had asked them to be prepared, meant that going in and meeting with a God who is so holy and so good would mean that they would die. They had to be ready to meet with God. And the truth for us is that the cross and Jesus' death on that cross prepares us to meet with God. And in the new heavens and the new earth, there is people. There is no need of a temple. People together walking and living with God and Jesus. This is the power of what Jesus has done. And notice it's a city. There is no temple in the city. Doesn't mean that you're all going to be in Melbourne in heaven. Few. It just means that there will be lots and lots of people. A city is a place populated with lots and lots of people from every tribe, from every nation, from every language, all there together walking with God and with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. It's good news. Secondly, it's always light. Doesn't mean we'll be insomniacs. It just means that God brings his light and the city has no need of sun or moon. For the glory of God illuminates the city and the Lamb is its light. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. Well, Revelation is largely poetic. And so to say that it's always light means that there is no darkness. Now, when Revelation was written, we didn't have electric lights. They relied on candles and lamps. So when it became dark, it became very dark, and there were shadows. And so darkness was the time of chaos. It was the time of crime. It was the time of when terrible things happened. And so to say that it will always be light is to say that Jesus and God are bringing that light even into the remotest corners of the new heavens and the new earth. And Jesus there, you see, as the Lamb, means that all sin, every piece of sin is dealt with, and there will be no sin in the city. So it will always be light. And thirdly, the kings will bring honour. I find this a really intriguing aspect of the new heavens and the earth. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. And again at the end in 26, and all nations will bring their glory and honour into the city. So it doesn't mean that the kings of the world, regardless of how they've lived their lives, will be living in the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation is very clear that the residents of the city are those who have trusted Jesus and followed him. But in ancient times, and we also see it actually today, is that rulers of nations bring tribute to other rulers. They bring gifts from their nation to a king. And it's often the example of the finest workmanship of their nation. They bring diamonds. They bring sculptures. They bring ceremonial swords, gifts worthy for a king. And so that gift symbolizes that the nation recognizes that king's rule and position, and that they want peace between their nations. Well, this verse tells us that all of that workmanship, all of that finest craftsmanship will be brought by kings and rulers and laid at our King Jesus' feet. He will receive the tribute and gifts of the nations. They will recognize his rule. And we see a very small glimpse of this at Christmas, which isn't that far away now, when the wise men bring their gifts and lay them at Jesus' feet. So this Christmas, when you see the wise men, also remember a day is coming when every nation will bring their gifts to Jesus. Well, the fictional Downton Abbey is in real life Highclere Castle. It's a grand country home in Hampshire, England. And it's currently owned by the Earls of Carnarvon, and it includes a village and a park and farms. Within its rooms are precious artworks. There's antiquities from Egypt, crockery and furniture from all of the different eras of that castle. And it's stood and it's seen people come and people go, and all of those moments of time in that grand country home. Imagine all of their country homes that there are in England and then in Spain and everywhere beyond that we can imagine. All of this workmanship will be carried into the holy city as a tribute to our King Jesus. who will reign forever. So no matter what the world looks like today, Revelation reminds us, don't despair. Hold on to Jesus because he is the King who will reign forever. Don't be enticed by all the grand goods of culture, as some of the churches in Revelation were, and the promises of leaders who want us to follow them. One day, all of the kings and people who built things for their glory will be handing them over to Jesus. And remember, only Jesus can bring us to live in a city where all sin, all darkness will be gone forever. So as we go into our week, three things to consider. Hold on to hope. The world may feel like it's an old coat and it's wearing out, but we can trust God is in control. Live now in the promise to come. Living as Jesus has called us to live is the only life that will last forever. Kindness, humility, peace, all those aspects of Jesus' reign are what will endure. And look at Jesus always. Always look at Jesus. He will show us how to see everything in the light of all he has done, is doing now, and will do for every moment in time. So praise be to our God. Praise be to Jesus who sits on the throne forever and forever. Amen.